Any presidential candidate is hoping that his vice presidential choice will help him, either to win election or to govern later. To find out if candidates get that wish, we've called presidential historian Michael Beschloss, who's here in Washington. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
First, the politics of this. Traditionally, it's said you pick a vice president to balance the ticket, to win a state, to win a region. Have they generally helped to do that?
They did in the past. You know, in the old days before television, and at a time when, for instance, if you lived in a state like Georgia or Nebraska, you probably stayed there most of your life, probably would make sense to put a Georgian or a Nebraskan on the ticket if that was important. Nowadays, you've got television and radio all across the country. It's hard to do it that way.
Classic example at the beginning of the television age, John F. Kennedy from Massachusetts and Lyndon Johnson from Texas.
Absolutely, and that was to take Texas, but was also to do something else, and that was unite that party. Lyndon Johnson had been the runner-up to John Kennedy, and also Johnson was someone who was considered to be less liberal than Kennedy was, and so from the moment that Johnson was chosen as vice president, Kennedy was no longer seen as necessarily this northeastern liberal. He was at the head of a ticket that was not only ideologically more balanced, but also had the benefit of Johnson's long experience in the House and Senate.
Oh, and that's happened a lot, hasn't it? I'm thinking of President Reagan and his vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush.
Exactly, because when Reagan was nominated in 1980, what the poll showed was that one thing that led voters to be a little bit concerned about Reagan was that he had been governor of California for 8 years, but did not have foreign policy experience, had not been in Washington. It was the time of the Cold War. You put George Bush the elder on that ticket, most of those doubts went right there.
Now, you mentioned that people are not quite as parochial because of communications as they maybe used to be. And given that, can a vice presidential choice really help the ticket or hurt it, either one?
Sure can help. And probably the classic in recent times would be Bill Clinton choosing Al Gore in 1992. It went against all the conventional wisdom. They were both Southern, they were both Baptists, they were both young, they were ideologically moderate within the Democratic Party, no balance. But the point is that from the moment that Al Gore went on that ticket, the 9th of July, 1992, people saw Bill Clinton in a different way. Clinton had a rather hair-raising experience in the primaries. A lot of people knew him almost best for Jennifer Flowers and the draft controversy. But here you have Al Gore, who comes onto the ticket, was respected in Washington, part of the establishment. From that moment on, Clinton was never behind.
What do you think about John Kerry's pick, John Edwards?
I think John Kerry hopes that what will happen to him was what happened to Bill Clinton in 1992, which is that it enhances the way that people see the top of the ticket. In this case, someone who can not only go after the Democratic base, but who's wonderful with crowds, you know, a wonderful speaker. I think John Kerry feels that by putting Edwards on the ticket, no one will any longer say that this is a choice for president and vice president that lacks excitement.
Can a vice president once in office seriously affect policy?
Has in recent years. You know, before Walter Mondale in the late 1970s, vice presidents were mainly ciphers. Jimmy Carter in 1976 campaigned on the idea that if you elect me president, Mondale, my running mate, will have a substantive role in my administration. Since that time, it's only grown. Al Gore and Dick Cheney, the two most recent vice presidents, have been the strongest in history.
Michael Beschloss is a presidential historian. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us.
Pleasure, Steve.